Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live in color. Hope that you're doing great on this day. And hope that you're ready for Women's Month. So we're going to be engaging in some conversations consistent with that. We've got a couple of interesting women lined up for you. As we come about this particular weekend, we want to let you know the annual event is going to be August 1st through the 4th. It's going to be in Ottawa, Canada. It's going to be the 23rd annual International Black Summit. And let me read you the declaration, and then we'll go through the purpose. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating a community of possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. A conversation of, about, and for those of African descent, one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. March 3rd, 2013. Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Also want to let you know the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for our participants to bring into being their vision for the black community in the world. So that's the purpose, that's the declaration. And again, the 23rd annual event is going to be in Ottawa, Canada, August 1st through the 4th. Make sure that you have your tickets in order, you have your passport in order, in order to make sure that you can cross the border. And you've got all your ducks lined up, so you may have to do some things in advance, so it's not like traveling in the States. So I just want you to be ready. Hey, Henrietta, how are you doing?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Another day above ground. It's a celebration.
Okay.
Absolutely. 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 So, this is, of course, Women's Month. We had Black History Month last week, and we talked a little bit about some of our history and some of our facts and thoughts and conversation, and so we're going to continue that theme this month in terms of women and their contribution in this country and then really around the world. You know, it's interesting that without women, there would be no world. So it's sort of interesting to me that it's only a month that we get to honor women. But you know, we only get a month to honor African Americans. So I guess we'll have to do something about that. We tend to do things a little differently on this show, so we'll honor those conversations all year long, but just interesting how it's set up. So what's So what are things like in Chicago these days, Henrietta?
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking, like, when you said that, I was just thinking, okay, we have a month to celebrate women, and we don't have a month to celebrate men, you know. And
by the way, there's no accident.
You said it's no accident?
None whatsoever.
Real. No, you're right. There are no accidents. But anyway, we are equal gendered celebrator. We celebrate everyone, men, women, children, seniors. It doesn't matter. We honor and acknowledge everyone because we know everybody is here on a journey, and that journey sometimes just do some really outstanding things. I heard you know, this is like the end of Black History Month, and in Chicago, I don't know if you've heard of Father Flaker, but he's a priest at a Catholic church, has one of the largest congregations in the city. And he's a white man, but he got a swinging church, okay? He's got the name of his parish is St. Sabina, the faith community of St. Sabina. And it's in Inglewood, actually, Gresham, that's not Inglewood, that's Gresham. And he, I think, has been here since 75 or something like that. And he, in his area, there have not been any shootings for the last 6 months.
And, wow.
Okay, and Gresham is side by side to Inglewood. You know, Inglewood is what is considered one of the most impoverished areas, and where there's a lot of gang activity supposedly there. Gresham is the next area south, and Father Flager's parish and school and parish is in Gresham, St. Sabina. And they have, like I said, one of the largest African-American congregations. And I think his service starts at 9 o'clock. Now, this is Catholic. Starts at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and sometimes they don't get out until 2. And it's a Catholic church. Okay? A Catholic church.
Wow.
And he has the best of everything for the people there. They don't take money. His school does not take money from the archdiocese. All of his money comes from his people. And there are a lot of African-American who study Catholicism in Chicago. There always has been. And when you go in this particular church, he has a neon sign that says Jesus, okay, hanging from the ceiling. The picture of Jesus that's on his pulpit is black. He's a dark brown brother with an afro. You know, the Jesus that you see in most of the Catholic churches with the hands stretched out, his is black.
Yeah.
His is
wow.
Black man. And he has great gospel music at his church. He has male, masculine, praise dancers. He is the exception to the rule. His church is the exception. He has great musicians, just like any other large African American church. He's all inclusive, you know. We went there Friday night because every Friday during the month of February he has a speaker. Like Cornel West was there one Friday, and then a young lady, I'm not sure of her name, but she's a hip hop artist. And then another week, Reverend Jeremiah Wright was there, you know, from Trinity, from Obama's church, former church.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past Friday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was there. And so, you know, that's what kind of person he is. He is. You will always see him on the news about violence or whatever. You know, he's always walking the street. He's doing everything to help the youth, the black children. He has one of the, well, I won't say it was one of the first, because I know that it wasn't one of the first, but he has a senior citizens living facility on his property. He has a Catholic salvage in his area, and that was something that you would never find. You would never find those in black areas. You always had to go into another area to get that, but now he has all of that in the vicinity, you know, maybe a block, two blocks away. Everything, the WIC office, that everything that any other Catholic parish would have, he has. Along with the fact that he has talked to two rival gang leaders and asked them to stop the shooting, and they have stopped it. 6 months. They have not had any killings in that area in 6 months. So, I just need to acknowledge Father Flager. For the work that he has done. He continues, you know, and he continues to do. And I'm really happy to just to announce this, because the last time I was in New York, my friend Willie Tolliver asked me, looked me in my face and said, "What are you doing about the shootings in Chicago? You know, what are you doing about it?" And I couldn't respond. You know, I could not respond at that time. But at this time, I can respond because as of this past week, there have been some major moves that I've made in conjunction with it. And on March 30th, a group of my friends will be getting together to create something. I won't say exactly what it is because I am not sure at this time, but something that's in alignment with stopping the violence and raising the consciousness of the people, starting from the adults and allowing that to trickle down. Also yesterday, the ministers met in the city, you know, and they met at Operation Push. And creating an initiative to stop the violence, to increase the level of education that the children are receiving. And there's a a whole lot of stuff going on. I'll have more information on it this Saturday because we meet again this Saturday. And the ministers are coming together and they've decided that we must unite. And, you know, and that will be the first step that we could do. So no matter what denomination you are, no matter where your church is or whatever, the ministers are uniting in Chicago to do something about what's going on. So that is a good thing. That is really, really good thing. I'm so excited about it. And that's through Operation Push, which, you know, used to be Operation Breadbasket, Dr. King's workshop. And that was the Chicago, you know, connection to Dr. King. Jesse Jackson Sr. has been running it for probably the last 30, 40 years, you know. I am proud to say, you know, that we are in the Declaration maintaining wellness of being, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, and altering the conversation of who we are in the media. You know, empowering our youth, as our declaration says. So there's some things in the works. The other thing about Father Flager is there's so much. I probably need to ask him to come on the show so he can really share what he's been doing. But if you have a minute to look him up, you can find out, you know, you can probably Google him and find out a lot of information about the different things. And one of the things that we found out on Friday night, that the mayor is looking at the things that he's been doing and beginning to do some of those things in the city, you know, like providing a place for children, a safe environment for children to come and play basketball. That's one of the things Father Flager always did, you know. So when you go into this area that normally would, or previously I should say, was not a real comfortable area, it is very comfortable now and peaceful and all of that. He works very well with his alderwoman. And they just get things done in that area. So that's one of the things that I wanted to share on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network this evening.
Awesome, awesome, Molly. Sounds like you're doing some great work there, and it sounds like you've got a model that needs to be replicated around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because this whole black-on-black crime is taking a tremendous toll, especially on our young black men.
Yeah.
And I want to include the young black Latinos in that conversation as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting devastated with violence, and most of it is related to drugs, you know, or a lot of it, I should say.
Related to what?
Drugs.
Oh, yeah.
The selling of drugs and, of course, you know, making money. Because when you don't have the opportunity to make money other ways, you know, that quick money looks awful good and awful easy.
Yeah. I also wanted to acknowledge another friend of mine that I'm going to ask to be on the show another time. Hopefully I can get her on this week. But I just saw on Facebook that she won an award for the, and I'm trying to pull it up now. She won an award as a top advertising and marketing executive, and the award was given her by Black Enterprise magazine. and it was given to her at the Women of Power Summit. And her name is Deborah Gray Young, and she's a very good friend of mine. I'm so excited and happy for her. She's from the Bronx, Glenn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. She's from the Bronx. But she moved here years ago. She's been here for about 35, 40 years. And, she writes on Facebook that she's attending the 8th Annual Black Enterprise Women of Power, a room full of awesome sisters, listening to the amazing Ursula Burns, CEO of Xerox. She said, this is absolutely fascinating and reiterates once again how accepting of other cultures blacks and Latinos are and how we help others endure the racial politics of the 20th century. We need to revisit our lessons and move them forward to today, is what she writes. And she notes, here's an editor's note from Bengali Harlem. Author documents a lost history of immigration in America. So she has a little editor's note there about that on her Facebook page. So, but it's supposed to be a really good story. Bengali Harlem. And so congratulations to Deborah Gray Young. And she's phenomenal, just a phenomenal marketing person. So we wish her well as she continues to do just some wonderful work. Just some wonderful work. So, what's going on in New York, Glenn?
Well, what's going on in New York? Well, I'm working on a couple things, and I'm a little frustrated with one of the local colleges. I'm looking to do an economic development summit. And for Southern Queens, and the college has just been dilly dallying, so I'm a little upset about that. I've been in touch with them since December 20th, and I haven't gotten an answer if they're willing to do it. They've asked for subsequent information, but they keep, I haven't heard a yay or a nay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking to do the event in April, so I'm actually going to have to push it out to May or maybe even June because I want to be able to line up the people to present. But that's another conversation. So, I mean, it's sort of status quo. The thing that I get to see is that it's really about us organizing ourselves and driving the things home. I had a conversation with my business partner, Byron, and he talked about creating some conversation and opportunity around entrepreneurship and developing some training or seminars consistent with that just to really be able to provide people with an opportunity. Instead of looking for a job, they can actually create their own job using their talents. So, it just keep coming up, what we need and what's available, and that we have all the resources we need in our community. We just have to work together. And I think that that's what Brother Man did in order to be able to reduce the crime and you know, it's going to take communication, it's going to take reaching out, it's going to take being uncomfortable, but it also is going to take some cooperation. And, you know, that's one of the things that's been pointed to as a missing. But I think it's also, anytime there's something missing, that creates an opportunity for something else to happen. So I think we've got some interesting times coming up. We've got some elections that are going to be taking place, the mayor race, and quite a few of the council seats are going to be up for grabs because people have done 3 terms. So that's starting to line up. And, you know, the other thing I think was interesting is when you look at the nattering of some of the political fallout and people are getting indicted for these little pieces of money, you know, $50,000, $80,000 or whatever. And you think about it in the realm of things and access that the politicians have to, are you really going to waste your time to convict them around some small chump change as compared to the people who are stealing millions and billions of dollars? So it's just interesting how, when you look at our whole justice system. So, I mean, that's kind of like my world in New York here. And different people have different perspectives, obviously, but, you know, certainly given what we see as a possibility for the International Black Summit and its adults and youth, you know, we look at the, you know, what's up, what's possible, what is it that we're standing for, and what is it that we're looking to create going forward. So, back to you, Henry.
Yeah. That's good. Things are moving. You know, we were talking about that earlier, that things are shifting. They really are shifting. There's so much awareness of truth now. There's so much awareness of our responsibility creating our own reality, you know. Like there's so much going on, and we don't want to go unnoticed because, you know, the media only reports certain things. But there's a lot of good going on, just a lot of good going on. My friend Sean and I are doing an event on the 30th, Glenn, that we believe is going to shift just by people learning or understanding that there's a comfortable way to be in relationship with each other, you know. And we're getting men and women together to have conversations, you know, just to dispel a lot of the myths that women believe about men and that men believe about women, you know, that just aren't true in many instances. So I think if everybody just starts wherever they can start, you know, like wherever they can start, just start there and do whatever you can do, even if it's a house, you know, like you gather people together just to have conversations, you know, and just talk about things, not argue about them, but just listen to each other, you know, and see what the other person really has to say, you know. So, and who does it better than the International Black Summit?
Uh-oh, watch out now, watch out now.
Who does it better than the International Black Summit at the annual event that will be held in Ottawa, Canada this year? And I've been saying August 2nd, but it begins on August 1st. It's August 1st through the 4th. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I've been saying the wrong date. But August 1st is Thursday, and Thursday is prerequisite day in Ottawa. And there are, of course, prerequisites that take place from now until August 1st. But go to blacksummit.org and let us know that you are interested in registering, you are interested in attending, you want to know more about it, you want a summit share in your area, an information piece that that gives you, lets you know what this conversation is about, lets you know what we're talking about when we say distinctions, when we, you know, when we say what we say, what the declaration means and why and how we do it and what's available for you when you come to the annual event. It's not only available to you that weekend, but that particular weekend we all come together from wherever we are in the world and we gather together. And we are people of all different belief systems, all different opinions, you know, all different lifestyles, all different views. And we come together the first weekend in August of every year. Just a group of people of Black African descent who are committed. We're committed to the unfoldment of the Declaration in our lives. Now, you hear the Declaration at the beginning of every show, every meeting, everything you do with the summit. We begin it with the Declaration and we end it with the Declaration. We don't do the Declaration at the end of our talk show, but we do it at the beginning. And it keeps us focused. You know, I mean, there are times that we just pull it out and just say, okay, where am I in this? Let me look and see where I am. You know, what am I committed to? And it keeps us on track. You know, it keeps us focused. It keeps us listening to what life is saying to us. You know, and so the most powerful conversation I have ever had is the conversation of the International Black Summit. That's what keeps us coming back every Sunday. That's what keeps us with all of our conference calls and our meetings and our retreats and our preparation. For those of you who are being called to come to Ottawa, Ottawa has one of the strongest teams in the summit conversation, the Canadian team. And these are people of Black African descent that live in Canada who are hosting us this year. The summit has been called to Ottawa. What fun we are going to have. Not only are we going to have fun, we are going to just expand our consciousness of who we are and why we're here. So do yourself a favor, do your friend a favor, give this as a gift to someone, anniversary present. This is a wonderful anniversary present, a wonderful birthday gift, and it's right before school starts. So it's a perfect place to go and relax and get your head on straight if you're an educator, so that when you can start your year off with an expanded consciousness due to the conversation of the International Black Summit, August 1st through the 4th in Ottawa, Canada. And you'll be hearing from our Canadian team soon. They'll be on to give us updates and let us know, you know, like what to expect when we get there and much more.
Well, don't forget, I was up there last weekend for the Black Youth Conference.
Thank you, Glenn. So you have got to tell us.
Man, we went up there on Thursday, and the event was Friday, and it was at LaSalle College, and they had 66 young people, probably from the ages of about 10 on up. And the youth facilitators actually managed that room, 66 kids. So you know they had their hands full. And they had the youth there from, started about 9 o'clock and went till close to 4, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and lingered. And then the facilitators, adult facilitators for the International Black Summit were there to speak with and work with the parents, the teachers, the guardians of the young people. And we had a room of 33 parents, guardians, and teachers. And we had the only black assistant principal in the Ottawa public school system. He came with another male black teacher, and they brought about 20 kids themselves. And the two of them were very excited to be part of the conversation. You know, and it's interesting, I got to say, we actually had an Ottawa policeman who happened to be white, who was part of the community outreach. And he stayed for, I'd say, about 85% of the program and got into it and was fully participating. So he was inside the conversation. And there was a couple teachers in there, there were a couple of students that didn't want to be in the youth room, that were, you know, little young adults age. And so we engaged in a conversation of how we could support the young people in the other room, and we also went over some distinctions and work with our distinction trigger. So we spent a lot of time with trigger, and we talked about self-love. We looked at self-love and went around and had people look at and confront what self-love was for them. And it was interesting to see how people struggled with providing some love for themselves. You know, human nature, kind of take care of yourself last. And it was interesting as people went around and got clear and got present to what they hadn't been willing to do or even look at for themselves. And had some brilliant partnership from Joyce was there, and Deborah Small was there, and Joyce Jones, and of course we had, well, Ali I was in the other room, and we had two of the Canadians were there, Joanne, they're from Toronto, and what's her name from Ottawa was there also. Oh my goodness, she's part of the leadership. I'll remember her name in a second. But anyway, so we had some really great interaction, and that was on Friday. And then on Saturday, we had a prerequisite. So we did a prerequisite for about 7-8 people on Saturday. So it was a very full weekend, and then we drove back Sunday. So I really enjoyed it because it was an opportunity to spend my birthday engaged in what I love, you know, youth empowerment. So, as I turn the pages of time, and I'm now 57 years old, and feeling like, well, not quite 25, but 25 plus, we'll say that.
Well, look, Glenn, a belated, and I don't even say that. I don't even kind of care for that word, but happy birthday to you and many, 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 many more.
Well, thank you.
Because I'm clear that you have just begun. You have just begun.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
My commitment is to get beyond 100. So to be 100 plus years old on this planet,
yeah.
In this space, in this body. And so in order to do that, I've been aligning myself and looking at what do I need to do in terms of take care of myself and to support myself and to get rid of any negativity that isn't supportive of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ongoing house cleaning.
Okay. Yeah, that's wonderful, Glenn. There's a billboard in Chicago that says 1 out of 3 people born today will live to be 100.
Well, you know, I saw something similar to that today, and it actually was saying that people will be living to 150, and something about do you have your retirement planned out?
Yeah.
It's interesting because it you know, when you think about the kinds of things that we're learning at, and then I was at an event just yesterday where they talked about leukemia and lymphoma, and they talked about the research that's being done and the breakthroughs that they're having in terms of creating new medical drugs to preserve and to isolate some of the cancer that's around. So it's it's quite interesting where we're going with all of this conversation. So
okay.
You know, I think those billboards may have some truth to it. So I'm standing for it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I wanted to, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are celebrating life, as we always do. We are acknowledging people who just do wonderful things for others. This is Women's Month, and we acknowledge that, and Deborah Gray Young is the person that we acknowledge this evening, as well as Father Flager, who is one of the Catholic priests here in Chicago. I wanted to share some information that I received at one of the special events he hosted at his church. And this particular event, the speaker was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it was just wonderful. It's interesting. It's interesting to listen to Minister Farrakhan when you are Christian, because Minister Farrakhan knows probably more about the Bible than many Christians know, have studied it very, very thoroughly, and have very good interpretation of it. And so it's really exciting to listen to someone of a seeming different religion or faith practice, I'll say, and to see how he explains different things. But he, you know, he always says that no matter what happens in life throughout the years, that God has always created prophets that come up out of whatever the strife is, you know, whatever the time is, whatever the struggle is. And, you know, he goes through and he gives you all of these different examples of who these prophets were that came up and what was going on that had them show themselves, you know, as leaders. And so as we were listening to his lesson, you know, he honored Father Flager, and it was, you know, it was Friday night, this past Friday night, and he was, you know, he also mentioned how they were, you know, they still had not at that time decided on who the Pope is going to be. And so he, excuse me, I'm Cliff Kelly is actually who I'm speaking about. He introduced Father Flager, who introduced Minister Farrakhan. And he was saying, because, like I said earlier, Father Flager is a very liberal Caucasian minister, and he has done more for his community. I mean, just so, so very much for his community. And so the talk show host, Cliff Kelly, was saying they should just, you know, when they just need to make him the Pope. Because if just think what a different world it would be to have someone in leadership who was actually liberal, you know, who could actually look at everything and see oneness, see everybody the same way. You know, he talks about that. He didn't talk long. Father Flager didn't talk long, but he did, you know, because he wanted Minister Farrakhan to speak as much as possible. And one of the media was there, and so they had these questions that they wanted Minister Farrakhan to answer. And one of the questions was about domestic violence in the Nation of Islam. And the other question was about guns, his feelings on guns. And those were media questions. And he kept saying, I'll get to it in a minute. You know, I'll get that to that in a minute. But he was, you know, he went on to, you know, go on to do his lesson. That he said the first thing that he would ask the Pope to do, the new Pope, is to take a different look at celibacy for the priest. He said that should be the first on their list to do. You know, I'm saying that. I don't know that he, I don't want to misquote him, but that he suggested that they take a look at that, and that they release that as a vow that has to be taken. And he believes that that would really make a change in Catholicism. You know, so that's something that I think we're going to have to, we can take a look at another time. I'm looking at the time and realizing we don't have a lot of it to get into that. But he was, you know, I didn't hear you. Okay, that's better.
Yeah, that would certainly make a difference in how people are looked at.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he, you know, he gives this good analogy about the differences, the difference of how we do things because of our different religious beliefs. And one of the things he said, it's like if I, you know, if my mother taught me that 5 + 2 was 7, and your mother taught you that 4 + 3 was 7, and somebody else's mother told them that 6 + 1 is 7, you know, and somebody else's mother taught them that 7 + 0 was 7. We all understand how to get to 7 in a particular way. And that's how he looks at religion, you know, like however you get to God, that's how you get there. he gave this wonderful explanation of Muslim, what it means to be Muslim and what it means to be Christian, you know, and what those terms, you know, what those terms really mean. And I think I'll do that. I think I'll talk about that another time. Because what I wanted to talk about, because this is, because we're celebrating women, is the story he told when he answered the question about domestic violence in the Nation of Islam. And he said, he looked at the camera and he said, no, we do not condone domestic violence. You know, you cannot beat your wife. Okay. You know, and he went on and he talked about it and he said, I hit my wife one time. Said, and she hit me back.
Uh-oh.
He said, and that ended that. Okay. So, and that's what he said. You know, he said, she hit me back. And he said, and we don't condone that, you know. And, like, and everybody got it. And it's funny because when he said it, all of the sisters stood up. All of the sisters in the nation who were in the room, they stood up and started clapping, you know, first ones out of their seat. But he was like, and that ended that, you know, like. So, but he went on, you know.
There was a after that.
It was, okay. He was like, she hit me back. You know, and so it's different than it may have been years ago, you know. And yes, there are some people who are still in those kinds of relationships, and they're learning, they're growing, you know. They're growing through it because there's so much information available now for people, where before it was just swept under the rug, you know. But now it's not. The other thing that he said that I thought was profound was his feeling about guns, about gun control and the Second Amendment and all of that. And what he said was, he said there are 350 million people. And he said there's about 315 million guns. He said almost one per person if you, you know, spread them out. There's almost one per person. And he said, then he looked at the audience and he said, so knowing that, America, do you feel safe? Do you feel safer now? There's enough guns out here for everybody. And he said, if it doesn't make you feel safer, you know, what's the purpose of it?
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, and he went on to talk about being challenged, like getting so angry that you would pick up a gun and do something with it. The only thing you can do with a gun is to hurt someone,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he said, no, we do not carry guns in the Nation of Islam. He said, we don't do that. He said, now, if you want to fight, that's different. I cracked up. He said, if you want to fight, that's different. He said, but we don't carry guns. We don't carry guns. And we try to keep ourselves at a level where we don't get to that point of anger, you know, which goes back to the communications piece that I was talking about earlier. You know, if we can learn how to communicate and listen more to each other, you know, that might bring it down a notch. That might assist with some of the violence.
We've got a caller that raised his hand.
Okay.
And we've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
314-381, go ahead. You're live on the air.
You guys ain't got enough time for my question, but I enjoyed the conversation anyway. But I was going to ask you about, you say that you're talking about a Black International Summit.
Yes.
But what are Black businesses doing internationally? I spend a lot of time in West Africa, and I don't see any African Americans there doing any manufacturing production, although you see other ethnic groups that's in some capacity or another. And looking at the economic markets that Blacks occupy here in the United States, Mississippi, especially your southern states, Mississippi, where Blacks are 37% of the population, why come there is not any efforts to control those things that they depend on for their subsistence?
Well, the short answer, given how much time we've got left, is really that I don't think that we've organized ourselves effectively to be able to do those kind of things. We haven't organized ourselves effectively just in this country in terms of harnessing the full Black economic capacity. And I think and the international conversation is certainly another level of that conversation that needs to be managed, that needs to be looked into, and needs to have us organized in a different manner. So certainly there are vast amounts of opportunities for us to do something and to change some of the things over there. And I've only got about a minute and a half left, but one of the things that came to mind, just as simple as the movie industry in Nigeria.
Glenn, hold it for 1 minute. Let me just end the show for the people who are listening over the web, and you and the gentleman can continue your conversation. Because it won't cut you off, sir, so just hold on one moment. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on with Glenn Greenwich, Henrietta Byrd, out of Chicago. Glenn is out of New York. And please go to blacksummit.org and register for the annual event. If you are listening via telephone, you can hold on and continue to listen to the conversation. The question that is being answered is what is being done internationally for Black businesses. I think I have it correct, but we will answer. They're going to continue this conversation. You can dial 646-716-9827 and continue to listen to this conversation, and we will answer the question. We'll bring it up again next Sunday, same time, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. God bless. Okay, you all can continue.
Thank you, Henrietta. Yeah, yes, sir. So, what was your name?
Yeah, Glenn, my name is Pianki, P-I-A-N-K-I. And my conversation, I usually try to keep my conversations centered around economics for Black and African American people. And I think that that is the one of the most pressing issues of the dilemmas that we are faced with here in this country. And not very much is ever spoken on. You know, they talk about the sad effects, the behaviors, and so on and so on, but no one ever wants to address those economic concerns.
No, you're right.
And you know, you mentioned something earlier about the skills and talents. You're absolutely right. Blacks have the skills and talents to be competing against those that they work for. And, you know, some simple things would be to target what other immigrants are in this country controlling. And we can't say that they don't control, because we know that they do. And it has to be just even school lunch programs. You have foreign companies that are controlling the supply of providing school lunches under Title I that our children participate in to a very large degree. But we're not controlling that.
Well, that's the one that comes to mind to me that is so outrageous is the black hair conversation. You know, I'm not even sure how many multi-million, hundreds of millions of dollars that we spend on black hair, and none of that, and we're not making any money, substantially on that. So, I mean, if we sat down and looked, there are opportunities all around us for us to really take a look at and to leverage the economic power that we have as a collective. But again, the key piece is that we would have to organize ourselves in a manner to be able to be in a position to leverage that. And, one of the things that keeps coming to mind, and I'm so present to it, is that our president, President Barack Obama, was classified as a community organizer. And when I look at it, and you talk about a skill set that is needed in our community, I would point to that as organizing ourselves inside of our community to really address some of these issues and some of these things moving forward.
Yeah, and I don't see any reason why come black Americans, African Americans shouldn't be in other countries utilizing trade agreements and other, even the U.S. government and its different departments, whether it's the USDA or U.S. Commerce Department, they provide all sorts of support and information on how you can, export. But I'm saying that, there's laws like the African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, which permits goods that's produced and manufactured in West Africa to be brought back into the United States, duty and tariffs free. United States still produce and manufacture high-end technology and sell it abroad. Well, why come we can't look at where they're selling this and what it is that they're making and, do the same thing someplace where the labor is affordable and skill set is there and do some undercutting?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And are you a resource for this conversation? Is that something that because it certainly sounds like you're very passionate about this conversation and clearly have some insight into it. And I'd love to continue the conversation and invite you back to this conversation. And maybe we can set up a time that we could actually fully engage you in this conversation because it's an important one.
Well, I can give you my email. I'm always available when it's talking about, the economy and how to increase the wealth. Yeah, I've been talking about other things for so long I get tired of them. But,
I understand.
Hold
on a second. Let me get some information. Henrietta, do you have a pen and paper available?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Sir, could you give us your email?
Well, my email address is LC Steele, Larry Charlie Steele, like the metal, STEEL, at Mindspring, MindSpring.com.
Spell Mindspring, SPRING?
Yes, SPRING, MindSpring.
Okay.
You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, a young friend, and I've worked with him. He has a training center here in St. Louis, and he was teaching at this center advanced photovoltaics classes, solar cells and so on and so on. So I told them, I said, why come we don't have classes going on that would teach unmanned aerial vehicles, better known as drones? Because I'm sure you've heard about it. That's going to be a demanding business here in the U.S. You only have maybe three schools, one university in North Dakota that teaches that. But that can be taught in the basement of schools with the technology that they have today with flight simulators and so on and so on, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure do.
So, yes, well, I would be more than happy to come in and talk with anybody on this on this level of blacks getting involved in what I call out-of-the-box business ventures. I only know of one African-American who's an import-export agent. The things that is made in China and come here are shipped on Chinese ships, and you have Chinese or Asian import-export agents that clear those things through customs coming into the United States. And that is a very, very highly lucrative job. Business, should I say. But that's something that you need.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to bring this show to a close. We've got your email, and we'll definitely be contacting you to bring you back, because you're absolutely right. This is a juicy conversation that needs to be talked about, and I'd love to include you and maybe a couple other panelists and actually fully engage in this conversation, because it's a good one. It's better than
is black women marriageable and interracial marriage and all that little stuff. Let's talk about something that, and you know, the funny thing, you mentioned Minister Farrakhan. You know, the Nation of Islam was the largest employer of black people in the 50s and 60s in the United States.
Yes. Is that right? Okay.
Oh, yes. They was the largest employer that of black people in the United States during those two decades, decade and a half. Quietly as it's kept.
Yeah, that is a quiet
comment. But the Sister Henrietta is in Chicago. She should know or be aware of that anyway, because of many operations that they had there during that period of time.
I am very aware of it. Very, very aware of it. And the work that they do, that's one of the things that they were celebrating on Friday was, two of the most productive men in the city of Chicago. One was Father Flavor, as far as taking young black people and training them. And one was Father Flavor, and one was Minister Farrakhan. And that the system that they used to take people from wherever they were and train them was just phenomenal. I do remember that. And they just reopened a restaurant that they had back in the 80s, I guess it was. They just reopened it, and they're doing a lot of different things again.
You know, another person is doing something too is Claude Anderson there in Maryland with that organic fish farm that he has. And right now, I think he's trying to become the largest organic fish farm in the United States. But that is a business that can be duplicated, working in conjunction with him, because I'm totally against the Me Too, Me Three thing, where you're competing against each other. But that deserves conversation also. But I'm going to let you guys get going. I know it's Sunday evening, and you probably want to get with your families, and that's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we love engaging in these kinds of conversations, because it really is about knowledge and creating knowledge and spreading the knowledge, because the more aware we are and more conscious we are, the more that we can make some things happen inside of our community. So just want to thank you for taking the opportunity to call in and to contribute to the conversation.
Thank you, and I look forward to future contributions.
Absolutely. All right.
Bye-bye.
I didn't get your name, sir.
My name is Pianki. It's spelled P-I-A-N-K-I.
P-I-A-N-K-I. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Go to blacksummit.org, and you can find out more about what we do.
Okay, I sure will.
Okay. Thank you. Call
thank
anytime.
You.
All right. Good night, and God bless.
God bless.
We're out. Peace.